If you hit snooze too many times this morning, you're living out one of America's most common nightmares. A poll for Halloween looked at the most common nightmares we have. And we've got the top 10.
Okay.
We'll start with the bottom. Number 10. 35% said their most common nightmare was being injured.
You ever have that nightmare?
No, I guess I don't.
I never even know. Doesn't even know.
Although I've had that deal where, you know, I feel like I've been shot.
Yeah.
And then I wake up and I've got like a cramp.
Oh, really?
Like it manifests itself in the dream. But that doesn't happen.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
Number 9, a loved one passing away. 36% said that was their biggest nightmare. Number 8, waking up late. 43%.
Yeah.
Waking up late. And you need to be someplace.
I don't know if it's a nightmare more than just a common fear.
Okay. Number 6, nightmare, being attacked. All right.
Of course.
I don't have that one. I don't have any of these so far, except maybe waking up late. Number 5, feeling trapped. I never have that one. I don't have any of these.
No.
Number 4, feeling lost.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I've done that.
Yeah, I've had that a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's number 4. Number 3, dying. I don't have a nightmare on that, although I have this dream that sometimes I feel like I'm already dead. And I'm looking around saying, hey, am I dead now?
Yikes.
Oh, that's scary, isn't it?
That's a little
number 2,
concerning.
Being chased. Someone chasing you.
Yeah, I don't
know. And number 1, falling. 65% have had a nightmare about falling from a significant height. Maybe I had but once or twice. I don't have many of these.
I guess I don't either.
I had one when I was small, and I remember it started occurring after I saw The Wizard of Oz for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in an old, scary house, you know, with cobwebs and all this, you know, freaky,
right.
and there's this little witch about to my size. I was like 6, and she's chasing me around in this place.
Wow. That is terrifying.
Yeah. Of course, there is a nightmare that you dream you're eating a giant marshmallow and you wake up and your pillow has disappeared. That's not on the list. Jad, you got anything on that list there?
You know, on the list, no. One of the things I kept waiting for to be on the list is the one that the ones that I usually have, which involve other people getting injured.
Really?
Yeah, my worst ones always involved either somebody I know or even just complete strangers getting very badly hurt when I'm somewhere nearby.
Ever have the one where you're naked in a public place? I had that. I've had that a few times.
I don't necessarily consider that a nightmare.
Well, yeah, that's something that would embarrass the heck out of me. But yeah, that's what I've had, being naked. I'm trying to think.
Go ahead.
Now, see, one more thing. This is not a nightmare, but something that recurs with me is I don't sleep, other than weeknights, I don't sleep very heavy at all.
I don't either.
You got to get up and come to work in the morning. But one of the things that keeps me in my mind, in my dreams, is I'm editing copy. I'm actually at a computer, and I'm trying to put the show
boy,
together.
That is a nightmare.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
And then,
don't want to be doing that
and
at home.
I wake up and I have to remind myself, you idiot, you're wasting all this
good
sleep time. Oh, well, part of the job, Ted.
I guess it is.
Part of the job.
Hey,
well,
I want to follow up. Oh,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, no, that is the worst, dreaming that you're at work.
That's just redundant.
That's awful.
Yeah. Hey, well, I want to follow up on something we were talking about yesterday.
Okay.
We were talking about Thanksgiving side dishes, and we had a conversation about stuffing, which was on the list. And Steve and I both kind of turned our nose up at that.
Yeah.
But Jad was trying to convince us otherwise. And I got a text message from our good friend, Teresa Veazey, down at City Hall.
Oh, yeah, TV.
Yeah, listening to us. And she says, you know, Jad was expounding on his delicious stuffing recipe, and Teresa says, hey, have Jad share that on your Facebook page or something. She wants that recipe.
Jad?
Good luck. You put stuff in until it looks right, and then you put it in the oven. I mean, it's not something that I have measurements for or anything that. It's just, you know.
Throw in a cup of chopped onions from McDonald's, and you're there, right?
Yeah.
Well, TV, you're not going to get that. I'll tell you what. I had a question for Thanksgiving dinner from a relative, and we haven't visited for quite a while, and they're asking if Aunt Shelley, my wife, of course, will fix her Waldorf salad.
Mm.
Apparently, nobody likes it. There may be two people in our family, entire family who like it. That's kind of that. What's there? Carrots? What? Apples? All kinds of stuff.
There's apples and grapes. And
yeah. Well, we've got a
lot of whipped cream.
And yeah. She's flattered. She's going to put that together this year.
That kind of sounds good to me right
Waldorf
now.
Waldorf salad. Well, anything's good for us. We haven't. We never get to eat.
I'm starving. I'm so
one of our
hungry.
Other nightmares
every morning.
We're at work and we haven't eaten for days and days.
Good.
And it's kind of like the Donner Party. You're starting to look at Chad and look at him and seeing a giant ribeye over there. Okay, we got a question posed by a class action lawsuit filed against Subway this week. Plaintiff Anna Tollison says the sandwich chain aired grossly misleading ads for its steak and cheese sandwich, showing a sub piled high with meat.
Right.
While the actual product was more bread than
the one you get. So this doesn't look like it looks on the commercial.
She says the sub in the ad has 200% more meat than the sub she paid $7.61 for.
Well, she's the one that paid it.
Not only is
she
Subway
turned it down.
Ripping off customers, Tollison claims they're doing it at a time when inflation, food, and meat prices are high. Yes. Yeah, you're kind of on your own. But on the other hand, there's an old concept called bait and switch.
Show
them one thing and give them the other. All right.
Well, that's what you see these ads and they have these foods, and they're glistening, and they're massive. Like, wow, that looks so good.
Right.
Then you unwrap it, and when you buy it, you're like,
Uh-oh.
Doesn't really look like it looks in the commercial. And local business news from the Wichita Business Journal. Hunter Health has completed the expansion of its main campus at Central and Grove in East Wichita. And there are plans to build a $9.6 million wellness center. That would be the final phase of the campus plan. Amy Feimer, CEO of the healthcare nonprofit, said the team is excited to move into the final phase of a three-phase plan to expand the space and resources for patients and employees. Construction on the Wichita nonprofit's first two phases of the project finished up in July, and that was part of a 15,000-square-foot, two-story addition to its current 22,000-square-foot clinic. It also turned the north end of the campus into parking, 75 more parking spaces. A walking path for the community and staff was also added to the campus there for Hunter Health.
As the Boeing machinist strike on the West Coast continues to impact the air capital, a separate set of high-stakes contract talks between Wichita Spirit Aerosystems and union-represented engineers have resumed. The Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace, SPEA, confirmed negotiations between its Wichita Engineering Unit negotiations team and the major aviation supplier restarted Monday, as expected. The current six-year agreement expires December 1st, and a new deal would cover more than 1,000 engineers at Spirit's Wichita plant. October 7th, SPEA said both sides had hit a chasm on key issues and agreed to pause negotiations for 3 weeks. And that's local business news this morning from the Wichita Business Journal with Steve and Ted. All right, Ted, Halloween's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. A new Halloween poll found around 1 in 4 adults will throw on a costume this year. 22% dressed up last year. 27% are planning to do that this time around. And it didn't look at the specific costume people are planning, but it did look at types of costumes that adults. Now, this is adults.
Yeah.
And I've got a list of here, about 6 of them. Okay.
Okay.
And tops on the list, a fictional person or character. That was 44%. That their costume fits that category, which would be what? Superman or Batman or Wonder Woman or whatever, I guess, huh?
A lot of options there.
Number 2 on the list, an animal or creature. An animal could be, I don't know. We had a function the other day, our chili feed, and somebody came and she had a cow outfit on.
Yeah, Shaylin was a cow.
Yeah, I thought she was a dog, and I said, why does she have a dog outfit? Somebody said, hey, that's a cow outfit. Don't you know anything about costumes? I guess I go, I don't. And number 3 on the list, a concept. What would that be? What is a concept? All right.
Well, that would be like, I don't know.
I think if you're dressing up as an adult on Halloween, you know what a concept is.
Yeah, it's something that's not any of those other two.
Number 4, a living person.
Yeah, that would be me in my Dick Nixon. Well, he's not living anymore, but my Richard Nixon mask.
I'll tell you what, if you've never seen the Richard Nixon mask.
Talk about a classic.
That's one of my favorites all time.
I know, me too.
It just nailed him. I mean, it's got this great big nose out there, and it's just, have you got one of those?
No, I don't. I'd like to.
Number five on the list, a historical figure. Maybe you're going as a...
So that would be the Dick Nixon mask.
George Washington, yeah, there we go, yeah. You know? Maybe you're going as Millard Fillmore, somebody like that. Number six, an object. I don't know what that means. Maybe an apple or a...
Well, maybe that means you're the keeper of the planes or...
Yeah. All right. There you are, some of the costumes.
Know, something like that.
And we've talked, you know, how many Halloweens have we been on the air that we've done Halloween stories? I mean, this is our 6,793rd show with Steve and Ted, so we've done a lot of Halloweens.
Yeah.
And I know...
Nearly 30 years worth of Halloween stories.
So I know by now that you had a Halloween costume...
Yeah.
...that your mother made for you that was not very practical.
We're not saving that for tomorrow?
Ah, we'll save it.
Oh, no, we can do it today.
Yeah, save it tomorrow.
Nah, let's go ahead and do it today.
All right.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
There was the year that Mom came up, you know, and I'm going to preview this. Bless my mom. She didn't like Halloween. Does not like Halloween.
Okay.
And so she always left everything right to the very last minute. There was no pre-planning. It's just like when we got home from school on the 31st, that's when she started coming up with ideas for costumes. So we only had a couple hours to do whatever.
Not much time.
So there's one year she came up with the idea of you're going to be a mummy. I was like, great.
You are.
So she got out the toilet paper and she wrapped me from head to toe in toilet paper as the mummy. And the only problem was that it rained like hell that night. So
oh, my goodness.
I got about two houses in, and I just was just covered with wet toilet paper, and I was miserable.
Well, how old were you?
So, I don't know. Who knows? I'm probably eight or nine, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Couldn't have been nine yet. Probably eight.
An honest mistake, you know.
I know. Just didn't work out that year. You know, if it hadn't rained, that probably would be a real triumph. Yeah. But it didn't quite work out.
People would say, did you see that kid wrapped in toilet paper? They wouldn't say, did you see the mummy?
Well, bless her heart. She tried.
All right. I triggered a memory we had. I had when I was a kid. I don't know. We were probably young teenagers, okay? And we had a party at our church, Methodist Church out in Westlake. And one of the things we did, everybody dressed up. And we were doing all this creepy stuff. And one of the things we had was we blindfolded one of our people, this young girl. Can't remember her name. I think it was Vicky. Anyway, sat her in a chair, and then somebody brought all these things over, these creepy things.
Right. And so you have to
dip your fingers in them.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So you know,
it's a classic.
Grapes. She says, and here are the eyeballs.
Right.
And then she just got more and more agitated as we had finally.
Or you have spaghetti. Here's the entrails.
Yeah, the entrail. Well, when she got to the cottage cheese brains, she lost it. She lost it big time. We were going to have to peel her off the floor. Oh, screaming and running around. Oh, no, it's okay, Vicky. It's just cottage cheese. Halloween, how much fun can you have? All right. Today is National Candy Corn Day.
Blech.
In the late 1800s, George Renninger of Wonderly Candy Company created candy corn.
So it's National Garbage Day.
Yeah. His sweet treat represented the bright colors of corn kernels. St. Shelley, my wife. Purchased a bag of that.
Why? The other day. What a waste of money.
She likes it, okay?
She could have just burnt a candle and collected the wax.
Hey, I'm not going to criticize her choice in candy. Look at the way she screwed up on her choice for men. All right, coming up, we got the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted. Keep it here.
So are you eating any of that?
I've had a couple,
Okay, good for you.
I'm a good sport
about it. You're good, yeah, very nice.